May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning we are finishing our series looking into what it means to be children of God. And in particular, our passage from Galatians helps us get a sense of the fact that God's children are equipped to fight temptation and to do so successfully. By the gift of the Spirit, we are empowered to resist any impulse to sin that the enemy may throw our way. What it doesn't mean, however, is that we are successful every time that we show our efforts. The first few verses of chapter 6 of Galatians should dissuade us pretty quickly of that idea. St. Paul wouldn't have instructed us to restore people who falter in our attempts to combat sin if we were perfect every time. In fact, we are to bear one another's burdens in our efforts to keep sin at bay. We need each other in order to keep on the straight and narrow. In the 12-step world, they make helping as part of the very center of their program. Helping others who are struggling the same way as you is one of those 12 steps. And they consistently keep reminding each other to keep coming to meetings. Call someone when you're facing a really rough go of it, and even to have a sponsor to check in with you regularly whose own successes in their life are a particular inspiration to you. American Christianity is too often bought into the cultural myth of pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. We even have a whole classification of books that we call self-help, as though through sheer willpower, we would have enough to be able to become rich and famous and sane and stable, heck, even superheroes. Were that the case, we would never even need Jesus. Heck, if we wouldn't have needed laws or punishments or rewards or other means of behavior modification either. But we are all sinners. And we live in a world tainted by sin at every turn. Most of us can't even live up to our own standards, let alone God's. And we see the results of it in a history of crime, heartaches, wars, and emotional and mental scars that still go unrepaired. It's even become institutionalized as fallen people create fallen systems that keep the con going. The whole way we live, if we do it apart from Christ, is rigged. And we are often blind to our complicity to this world's broken way of living, or helpless when we finally realize that nothing in our human efforts will stop it. That is why we turn to Jesus, because he has conquered Satan. He has destroyed death. He has fulfilled the law and broken the power of sin by his cross and resurrection. When we sing that old children's song, "He's got the whole world in his hands," we are reminding ourselves that even though we see that things aren't the way they're supposed to be, they will be. And in Christ, they are already counted the way they're supposed to be. So our Lord has given each other to help us to begin now some of what our future holds. We have fellow brothers and sisters who have been through the ups and downs of this life and come through victorious. We have the examples of martyrs, confessors, and other common saints like us who can inspire us to keep the faith. We have clergy and mature leaders who we can turn to in confidence for help with particularly nagging problems. And we have a steady stream of people who are praying for us every day and willing to help with life's details when it gets too heavy for us to carry alone. In addition to relying on one another in the church, St. Paul reminds us to sow to the Spirit as opposed to the flesh. Now, Paul isn't saying, oh, the body is bad, but that which is ethereal is good. When we see that word flesh in the Bible, it's a reference to our fallen nature, the old part of us that has prioritized the broad path of least resistance over the narrow way that Jesus exhorts us to walk. Otherwise, if we stick to this idea that everything that is supposedly spiritual is good and everything which is of this world is bad, well, we wind up in what the church has called the heresy of Gnosticism. You see, the flesh thinks that our natural appetites are more important than God's command to love Him and to love our neighbor. The flesh is governed by feelings more than faith. The flesh is even duped into thinking that this world is the only one that counts. So eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. But instead, Paul admonishes us to sow to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us already as believers. So if we plant the Word of God in our minds through regular scripture reading, meditating on it, studying it, if we water our souls with prayer, if we expose our inner self to the radiant presence of God that we find in the sacraments, if we prune that which is draining our lives of a deeper connection to Christ, if we allow ourselves to rest in the rich soil of serving others and telling others how much Jesus means to us, then we will see the new creation that Christ has started in us begin to sprout. We need these means of grace to grow in Jesus the way that our Father desires. Spirit and body together. But of course, these means of grace aren't some kind of magic. People are always looking for shortcuts. And they don't want to accept that God creates processes to achieve His ends as well as instruments to achieve them. So the means of grace are ordained ways that God places in our lives so that our spiritual and physical well-being might flourish along the way. Reading the Bible is no magic wand. You have to live it out. Praying or coming to church is no guarantee that you'll stop sinning, especially if you think that it's the activity of praying or attending itself and not the Spirit that empowers you to do the activity that does the job. That's one reason why Paul can say neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. The doing isn't where the power is. It's the Spirit that lives within us, doing it through us, that helps us to prevail, giving us the goodness that we long for in the midst of our doing it. It's the new creation at work in us that motivates us to become what He longs for us to be. Indeed, what He already considers us to be in Jesus Christ. And that will usually involve a season, perhaps even a lifetime, of continuity in Christ in order to see it bear fruit. So just as God has an ordained future in store for us, He has an ordained way toward that future. He wants us to do it together as the body of Christ. He wants us to tap into His grace through the means that He set up, through which His grace flows best, sacraments and spiritual disciplines. And He wants us to remember that the source of any goodness that is coming in our life is through Him, through the Spirit. It's not something that we've manufactured out of our best intentions or efforts. Plus, we have to be patient with the process that God has in store for us to make His good and perfect will come to pass. Do you want victory over a particular sin that keeps rearing its ugly head? Have you tried super hard to be a Christian that's really good, only to find that you keep messing up? Have you neglected the vast reservoir of the Holy Spirit in your struggles to live a holy and upright life, and keep relying instead on man-made to-do lists to get a handle on the cares of this life? Have you gotten antsy, vainly looking for microwave results when only a slow-cooked faith is what Chef Jesus has on the menu for your life? So get help. Rely on the Spirit. Let the same Spirit vivify you in how to do the Christian life, and trust the process that God is taking you through to bring about His good and perfect will in your life. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to Thee, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly Thine, utterly dedicated unto Thee. And then use us, we pray Thee, as Thou wilt, and always to Thy glory and the welfare of Thy people. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.